our next guest is also a veteran of the Oz in Galway. Conor Pope, you're very welcome.
Thank you very much. I was delighted to hear the Oz getting a name check by Gary there.
you weren't there too young in the 70s though.
I was there more in the 1980s, but I did spend many, many, many long and sometimes hazy evenings in the Oz.
You are, of course, the Price Watch editor with the Irish Times, and you're going to be here to talk to us about top travel tips. But before you do, can I ask you, just, I've been flooded with all of the most read stories of the year, and one of them on the Irish Times is a story that you wrote last year about giving up alcohol.
That's right. So I wrote a piece this time last year about doing Dry January in 2022. And then Dry January became, myself and my wife decided to keep going until February. And then in the March of that year, we both got COVID. The entire Pope family got COVID. So that kind of ruled out any kind of return to alcohol for Paddy's Day. And then we just said, we'll do it till the summer. And then, shall we do it for a year? And neither of us have had anything to drink since then. So when I saw the article appearing again on the Irish Times, I was really grateful that I hadn't gone back on the booze over the last year, because then I would have had some serious questions to answer. But no, it's actually 4 years today
since I had
a drink. And I don't miss it at all. And I have to say, when I talk about it, I'm not talking about it like some kind of holy Joe or some kind of puritanic, with any kind of puritanical zeal. Whatever you want to do, however you want to live your life, that's totally fine. But I find that knocking alcohol on the head has really had immense benefits for my life.
Yeah, it was really interesting. I'm sort of paraphrasing the piece just from recollection. I remember at the time when I read it, and also just when I reread it there, you know, you're kind of saying, like a lot of people, you were sort of kidding yourself that maybe it's not that you thought you'd problem with it, but maybe when you finished it up, you were like maybe not the most healthiest relationship with it.
100%. I mean, and I wouldn't have been drinking to excess. I mean, I probably drank far too much in my 20s and my 30s, but as I got older and as I had kids, I was drinking less, but I was still drinking, like between us, we were still drinking maybe 4 bottles of wine a week, splitting a bottle of wine on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and maybe midweek. And then you drink more during your summer holidays, more over Christmas. And I kind of realised that, you know, it's not a good relationship. I'm not necessarily saying I had a problem or a problematic relationship, but it certainly wasn't healthy. And that's the thing. When you stop and when you realise that it's a habitual thing, it's not something that you actually need. It's just a habit. Like, what do we do? It's Friday night, let's have a glass of wine. But once you move away from that, and I honestly, it's been a long, long time since I even considered it. Now, I have discovered the joys of alcohol-free beers and even some alcohol-free wines. Now, most of the alcohol-free wines are absolutely disgusting, but some of them are palatable, and they have that kind of ritualistic thing that I do miss sometimes.
And I love that you and your wife, Sonia, got the courage, not the Dutch courage, but actually get up and sing a duet at a wedding.
Well, I think,
sans alcohol.
Listen, that was the watershed moment when I realised that my nephew got married in the west of Ireland. There was a big karaoke on the second day of the wedding, and we got up and we sang a Taylor Swift song totally sober in front of 150 strangers, and I realised, do you know what, if I can do that without the crutch of alcohol, I'm probably sorted.
Well, can you get us the best deals? Obviously everybody at this time are in the bleak cold days of January are thinking about escaping to warmer climates, but this and it's also when travel agents and the sales,
that's
all
right,
that's being pushed out. But how do you get the best value, you know, for money? Because, you know, everybody's saying, do I book in the middle of the night, or what way do I get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and try and beat the algorithms?
Okay, well, there's all sorts of theories in place here, but one of the things that Michael O'Leary always says is that if you book between 6 and 8 weeks out before your journey, you're going to get the cheapest seat. And that's right for some routes, and it's right for some passengers, but it really depends on the route. For instance, if you're flying to Malaga or if you're flying to Faro, they are serviced by multiple, and they're by far the two most popular airports that Irish people travel to during the summertime. They are serviced by multiple airlines multiple times a day. So you're always going to get comparatively good value on those routes. But if you're flying to La Rochelle in the north of France, or if you're flying to Reus Airport in the north of Spain, you know, there might only be one flight a day to those airports. With those airports, the rules change, and there might only be 200 seats on the plane. And if you are really keen to fly into that particular airport for whatever reason, you need to book early. There are all sorts of theories on the internet. You kind of alluded to them.
There's the cookies. Do you clear your cookies?
Yeah, there's the cookies one. No,
the creepy cookie theory.
Yeah, I've talked about this and I've highlighted it many times. I've never seen it myself, but the theory goes that every time you visit an airline website, it deposits a cookie, which is just a tiny line of computer code on your computer to tell them that you've been there. So if you go and look up a flight to Paris. And then you think, oh, maybe, well, I won't. And then you think, you know what, I won't. I'll leave it. And then if you come back 24 hours later, the website's cookies know that you've been there. So as a result, they jack up the price. There are millions of people online who swear that this happens and they have documented it and they've proven, look, I looked on this day and it was 100 euros and then I looked 20 minutes later and it was 150 euros. They're watching me. The airlines absolutely swear blind this isn't happening. But if you're concerned about it, the simplest thing to do is to go onto your browser, clear your cookies before you visit an airline website a second time. And you might get it cheaper. It's never worked for me, but that's not to say it won't work for your listeners.
Legitimate ways you can beat it. Flying midweek can't always be done, but flying midweek obviously is much cheaper, but harder when you've got kids.
Do you know what it is and it isn't? But we are conditioned as people to travel from weekend to weekend. And the way airlines work and the way holiday operators, tour operators work is they plan for weekend to weekend holidays. So the way travel is business people tend to travel on Mondays and Fridays and families tend to travel on Saturdays and Sundays. As a result, that's when the flights cost more. And according to the British Consumer Magazine, which if you can travel on a Thursday and book your holiday in a campsite or at a resort or wherever it is in the summertime from a Thursday to a Thursday or a Wednesday to a Wednesday, you will save yourself up to 30% on the cost of your holiday.
Sweet.
Now, that is absolutely key. Yeah. And also when you're booking flights, because the flights are all, the cost of flights now, it's not driven by human beings, it's driven by algorithms. And the algorithms say, we've got more seats to sell on a Wednesday, as a result, we'll drop the price. So that definitely does work. And I think more people can do that than they think. Like, it's just a shift of mindset. But that's only one thing that you can do. Another thing that obviously a lot of people will know is if you can possibly avoid it, you don't take your holidays in July and August, because that's when families are on holidays. But a key thing for...
And another thing that's in that is that it's not just when families are on holidays, but different countries have different periods at which they have their school holidays.
And this is really important, right? Yeah. Because a lot of people in Ireland don't think, understandably, about the Germans or about
French,
the English
or the
French or
yeah.
the Dutch. But so in Ireland, school holidays, primary school holidays, tend to start at the end of June and they go to the end of August or early September. But the Germans, the poor unfortunate kids in Germany, they don't get their holidays until the 20th of July. And it's the same in England. They don't start their summer holidays on the 20th of July. So when you are booking your summer holiday from Ireland, it's really important that you do it if you have to go in July or August, you have to do it in the first 3 weeks of July, because otherwise you are competing with the Germans, you're competing with the Dutch, you're competing with the English and the Scottish. And that, as a result, causes the prices to really, really ramp up. But it's also worth remembering that in Britain, for instance, they have they've got a real skewed system of education, because they've got their midterm break for the summer at the end of May. So again, if you're trying to be smart and you're trying to avoid the July, August thing, and you book a week this year, this coming summer, for the end of May, you're again competing with the English and you're also competing with the Germans, because that's when their midterm break happens. So it's important to broaden your horizon.
I know schools hate it, but I suppose you can't blame parents sometimes in wanting to maybe take the kids out for a couple of days if there are such big cost differentials.
And do you know what? A lot of parents
do that.
Have
you ever done that?
I have. And I've explained it to the school, and schools are really understanding. And I kind of have done it and I felt bad about it. But when you can save yourself €1,000 by travelling from the 20th of June to the 4th of July, as opposed to travelling from the 4th of July to the 18th of July, our teachers are a lot of the time our parents too, but they also understand money concerns. And it's not something that I think I would recommend, and I would never do it for a child in secondary school. And that's not to diminish the importance of the education for primary school children. But if you've got a kid heading into the junior cert or leaving cert, you don't want to be messing around with that. But if a child is 5 or 6 and you take a few days off, it's not the end of the world. Having said that, I'm not going to be doing it in the year ahead.
Okay, I'm going to have to let you go because we're just coming up to 12 o'clock. Conor Pope, thank you
no
very, very much for coming in. It's 12 o'clock now. It's time to pause for The Angelus.